back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
By the way, I told David Haw, see, he has to cover both teams in the playoffs. You just have to go on the long Bulls run. Mark it down. The Hawks and Bulls both playing in the finals.
So that means I'll have to see a lot of you in June. That's unfortunate, but I'll mark my calendar now.
That was a few months ago when Casey Johnson joined us. October 2nd, actually.
Wow.
October the 2nd.
Swami Cap.
And KC and the Sunshine Band joins us right now on Cap and Haw. Good morning, KC.
Hey, KC.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Fantastic.
All right. So how – look, every game in the playoffs is big, but on the pantheon of Bulls games that you've been following since 1998 when they won their last title, where does this rank, tonight's game?
1996. Don't sell me short, Cap.
Okay, but, sorry.
Come on. Obviously, it's a big one. The Bulls have stolen home court advantage. If they win the rest of their home games, they will win the series, obviously. It's also a momentum game with the series tied 1-1. And, you know, the Bulls have followed really good performances with poor efforts like they did in games 1 and 2. And sometimes they take one game to flip the script, and sometimes they need more. So on many levels, obviously, this is a big game.
So, KC, tonight the dynamic changes a little bit when we talk about matchups, adjustments, and the game within the game. And I think the Cavs did a better job of that in Game 2 than the Bulls, certainly. But J.R. Smith returns for the Cavaliers. How does that change who guards him, how they use him, and what do you anticipate his impact being?
Well, he played very, very well in two of the three games he played against the Bulls after the Cavs acquired him from the Knicks. Huge factor in the two victories that they had. I assume he'll start. David Blatt doesn't reveal much. He probably even less than Tom Thibodeau. And actually, I was just jumping out with you guys, so I didn't even check Twitter to know if Shumpert's playing or not tonight. I will say it's hard to even... It's going to be hard to surpass what Shumpert gave them. He played very, very well in games 1 and 2. I suppose you have an opportunity to play Shumpert and Smith together at times. But Tristan Thompson also played very well. So it on the most part, just adds a big shooter and another shot maker. And that's kind of the Cavs' attack, is put the ball in LeBron's hands, occasionally Kyrie's hands, and flood the floor with shooting. I don't think you'll get 5 3-pointers from James Jones again. I do think you have a chance to get 5 3-pointers from J.R. Smith, so he's certainly a big addition for the Cavs.
KC,
just so you know, the tweet from Brian Windhorst.
And Shannon Ryan.
Okay, and Shannon Ryan. Brian Windhorst, Imad Shumpert, still unsure if he can play tonight. We'll need to test it before the game. I'll do everything I can to try and play.
Okay, well, there you go. So, you know, the Cavs are less forthcoming about their injuries than their Bulls. God bless it. We found another team that is less forthcoming.
All right, let's talk about the Bulls' offense. I talked to a former NBA head coach last night who's been doing some scouting in the league. And I said, you know, there's this perception, whether it's true or not, I want your opinion on it. The Bulls' offense is not good. They don't execute well. They don't have a great concept offensively. And he said, I know that management feels that way. But he said, I'm just telling you, that's nonsense. He said, I think they run a very solid offense. They just have a guy in Joakim Noah who I don't think is healthy. That's what this guy said. What is your take watching so much NBA? How would you grade the Bulls' offensive philosophy game plan over the entire season?
Well, I think pinning it on Joakim Noah is short-sighted. I think also Tom Thibodeau's reputation as being poor offensively is overstated. I think it's probably a little bit in between. They at times bogged down, and you can basically tell the way they're playing by the first quarter, the way they come out. If they're playing with thrust, getting the ball up the court, either via the dribble or the pass, get into their sets quickly and efficiently, that's when they're typically good offensively. There are a lot of times where they get bogged down in late clock situations, don't get ball reversal. They do fall into those patterns too often. But that's not really a philosophy. That's just execution. I do think there are times where I would probably spread the floor more with shooting, especially when you got a guy like Derrick Rose. But look, this was the best Bulls offense since Tom Thibodeau's been here. So I think it's probably somewhere in between. But I will say that, I think it's overstating it to say that it's a poor offense. Clearly.
Casey, you've heard since the end of game two, I'm sure, that the fans responding to what happened and crying for more use of the bench, more Tony Snell, more Mirotić. And I think yesterday Thibs seemed to allude to the fact that he might go to Mirotić more often. How do you expect him maybe to be used, and why hasn't he been used more than 10 minutes in the first two games?
Well, I don't think he'll play more tonight. I could be wrong, but I don't think he'll play more tonight. He's made it pretty clear that you know, the word he used the other day was situational. So his minutes are situational. And I thought the game two matchup screamed an opportunity for Nico, and Tom didn't use it. So I'd be surprised if he plays more tonight. And it started in game six of the Bucks series. You know, obviously Nico had the injury, didn't play great in his first couple of games back from it. And I think Tom then just started moving to more of a...
Casey?
Sounds like the offense has stalled.
Sounds like he Tribune needs to buy him a new phone.
Gotta go.
We got you, Casey.
I'm here. Are you guys there?
There, he's back now.
Oh man, I won't say the carrier's name, T-Mobile, but we drop a lot of calls.
I hear you. I hear you.
What was I saying? What did you guys hear? Because I was making a great point. So what did you guys hear?
Just on Mirotić and why?
How many minutes you don't think he'll play more than 10?
It started in game six of the Bucks series. Nico had the injury. I don't think he played great in the first couple of games back from that injury. And I think Tom just kind of moved into more of a two-way veteran in Taj that he trusts. And I will also say that this matchup, I think, fits Taj better because of the way the Cavs are playing. You're playing unconventional lineups. You need people that can guard multiple positions. Nico, a lot of times, struggles to guard one position. Taj, obviously, is the kind of player that can guard multiple positions. So I think it's more of a comfort thing. I would have played him more in game two just because you were getting your hats handed to you and struggling to score, and the Cavs were flooding the floor with shooting and playing small a lot. So I would have played him more in game two, but Tom makes a heck of a lot more than I do.
Casey Johnson, our guest here. Number one key just tonight, not the whole series, number one key for the Bulls tonight.
Got to guard the three-point line. I mean, LeBron's good enough to do what he did in game two. I mean, he can do that I'm not saying he will do that every night, but it's obvious that he can, if he's on, play that way. I mean, he's just incredible. You can't have 12 three-pointers, and you can't have James Jones making five of them. You got to limit the damage from the other guys. J.R. Smith coming back will, you know, certainly make that more of a challenge. But the Bulls are a very good three-point defensive team. They always have been. That's one of Tom's big philosophies, guard the three-point line, close out on shooters. So it's hard to do because of the way that Kyrie and LeBron can break down your defense and get to the rim and get penetration, but you got to somehow limit the damage they're doing from the auxiliary guys from three-point range.
And, KC, the big question, headband or no headband for LeBron? and how do they adjust, if you can adjust at all, defensively against that guy?
You can't. He's just too good. And look, we watched it for years here. You can do whatever you want. If he's playing at the level he was in game two and that aggressive, you can't stop him. I mean, maybe you'll force him into a couple of turnovers that he's not expecting, or maybe you make him shoot a slightly lower percentage. But, come on, we lived through this movie. He's the best player since, you know, Kobe, Michael Jordan. You can't stop him. So that's why I say you got to limit the damage from the other guys. As far as the headband, I got to believe he's wearing it. Don't you guys?
Oh, yeah.
There's no question.
No doubt. It's back. It's going to stay a while.
No question about it.
It'll stay for all seven games of this series because it's going seven.
And if you want to run into him today, by the way, out there and just maybe, you know, bother him, get an autograph or whatever, he eats at Food Life like every day when he's in town down at the Water Tower. So there's a little tip for everybody. KC, appreciate the knowledge. It should be a lot of fun tonight. I do have a question for you. David and I argued this. If the Bulls don't win a title, is the season a failure?
Yes.
Wow.
Whose side did I pick? I picked Cavs.
Yes, you did. It is? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. This team is built to win a championship this year. That's not to say I'm in the minority on this opinion. I don't think this is a one-year window. I think this team, this roster will be back virtually intact next year.
Even if there's a new coach, right?
Yeah. So I think you got to – 2 or 3 year window, basically, you know, coinciding with that Gasol deal. But I might be in the minority on that. But yeah, absolutely, this team was built to win a championship. And also, here's the other thing: this is a transition year for the Cavs. I mean, so this is your best chance to get past these guys, especially with what has befallen them with the injuries and the suspension. So this is your year to get past LeBron. The Cavs are only going to get better. So I think it's absolutely a failure if you don't win a championship this year.
Okay, we can debate that later. But I did neglect to ask you, you asked a good question, a series of questions of Joakim Noah yesterday because of the incident with the fan. Will the league get involved, and how do you think he handled that whole situation?
Are you talking about the Cardell thing or the tunnel thing?
Well, the tunnel thing, didn't he made contact with the fan? I mean, obviously the Cardell, those comments are funny. But how would you characterize how he handled the whole situation?
I thought he handled it exactly how Joakim likes to handle it, being kind of in the middle of things and then kind of feigning ignorance. That's how Joakim likes to roll. I will say that I think that if something were going to happen league-wise, I would have heard about it by now. He kind of was noncommittal. We asked him if he talked to the league office yesterday, but I'm pretty sure I would have heard about that now, so I don't think anything's going to come of it. It did look – I don't know if that's the fan that he claimed spit on him or not. And, you know, when he did kind of wave at him, I don't think he made contact or anything. I mean, obviously the league doesn't like stuff like that, but it's not like he punched the guy or
right,
killed the guy
right.
or pointed at the guy.
I didn't want to overstate that. I just didn't know, you know, the attempt, the intent or whatever that it was. It sounds like it was something to go
away. By the way, Casey, I said to David the other day, Mike Dunleavy, classy, quality guy. He's got a little nasty in him. I didn't realize he's got a little edge there.
I would say more than a little. He's got a lot, and he's always been that way. And, you know, I like that about him. I respect that about him. He's had an excellent postseason, by the way. Very, very solid.
Yep.
Obviously shot the ball well from three. And just I think he's been a really, really big factor for the Bulls thus far.
And I will say,
are we almost done? Because I have a closing comment.
Yes, sure. Yes.
Joakim Noah and I share one thing in common, so I can reveal my college football ignorance and dislike. Sorry, David. I never heard of Cardell Jones until yesterday either. So.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
That's awesome.
That's phenomenal. We had Brian Hamilton on Sports
that's
Talk
great.
Live yesterday. He said he's one of the nicest athletes he's ever dealt with.
All right. Well, then maybe I'll look him up. But I share that with Joakim. I never heard of him until yesterday.
I like to call him 12 Gauge.
Okay. I had to look up how to spell his name. So there you go.
All right, KC. Thanks a lot, buddy.
See you, KC, too, tonight.
See you guys.
See
later.
You. There he is, KC Johnson. Does great work for the Tribune.
And not a college football fan.
And by the way, did you see what Cardell Jones did May 1st?
No, I don't know that. I haven't stalked LeBron to lunch either.
Cardell Jones, May 1st, changed his whole Twitter. So the background was Akron Zips, and it says quarterback Akron Zips, and he said, and everybody freaked out that I'm transferring to Akron, and then ended up tweeting May Fools.
Yeah, that's not real cool.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Why? Just because you football writers have to make a few phone calls
no,
to
that's
find
not,
out it's true?
No, I'm a football writer again. That's not cool.
312-235-2525. John and Algonquin will start us when we take some calls. And we still have John Moon Mullen at 10:40.
He's calling in from the moon.
From Colorado. Take a time out. We'll be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
I didn't know who he was until this morning. But, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. I like Urban Meyer, I guess.
There was no SEC comment made.
I didn't even know who he was until this morning. But I wish him nothing but the best.
You haven't been contacted by the league about any of this stuff, have you?
About what?
About any of the stuff that happened last night.
What happened?
Well, there's also a video of you, when you walked out of the tunnel. I guess you were upset with a fan or something.
It looked like you reached out towards a fan.
I was just saying hello.
Hello. Is it me you?
No doubt that guy has a lot of fun in life. He's Joakim Noah. A couple of incidents this week where he reportedly said to Cardell Jones, not in the SEC.
Yeah, then he said he didn't know who he was.
Right.
Maybe that didn't say he denied saying it, though. Maybe say it to the general the Ohio State football program.
And then
that was being honored.
I kind of like Urban Meyer because he used to be at Florida.
Yeah, of course. He's a Gator.
And then reportedly had a little incident with a fan.
Who he claims spat on him, though.
Right.
I don't know if that was the case, but when Joakim Noah is in Cleveland, these kind of things are prone to happen. I mean, they boo him every time he...
Well, we showed the highlight like 50 times on CSN where he goes, do people say they're going on vacation in Cleveland?
No.
It's one of the great lines.
That was in 2010?
Maybe.
I think it was last time. Maybe 11. It's been a while. But the other night was just seemed like you don't... if a fan was spitting at Joakim Noah, there's no room for that. But the Cardale Jones stuff is just amusing.
It's funny.
Yeah, more than anything. Because Cardale Jones tweeted at Joakim Noah, I'm at Joakim Noah's neck the rest of this series for that comment.
Right.
Come on. This guy, he's entertaining for a college athlete, but he's taking a little, come on. Really.
Oh, come on. Everyone says he's the most fun-loving guy there is.
The Akron thing was, I know they say that, but come on.
The Akron thing was hilarious.
You've got entire... Why would you do that to your fan base? Why would you do that to your...
Because you keep them on edge. They're on their heels.
Silly.
I think it's hilarious.
Okay.
Cardale Jones. That was funny stuff, man. 312-235-25.
15 minutes are almost over.
25. Jim in Cary. Wait till you write a column when the Bears draft him next year. Jim in Cary. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Morning, guys. Hey, question for you. I've always been a Joakim Noah fan to a point. But the way he's playing so badly, with, like not being able to jump, pass, shoot, make a free throw, anything, is it? Do you think it's time to tone down the clown act? Because it's not as funny.
What clown act?
Makes him look,
what clown act?
He likes messing with the media in Cleveland, and I get it. But if you're not performing, shouldn't you be more focused on making a one layup or a free throw instead of trying to crack up the media? Because it seems played out. When you don't back up the goof around.
He's not healthy, Jim.
Hey, Jim. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the phone call. Jim, I don't know that they're related. I don't know that Joakim Noah is clowning with the media that much. I think he plays up the fact that he doesn't like Cleveland. That's okay.
He has a good time with it when the media comes to him.
And he doesn't like LeBron James. Doesn't seem to. Maybe he privately respects him and they're friends or whatever. I doubt it. I don't know that there's any connection between Joakim Noah's public persona and his struggles on the court.
Agreed.
Which are related to his health.
Agreed.
I'm willing to give him we're not giving him a pass.
A break.
Because he's on the court. Here's the one thing I want to ask you, and we'll get to the phone calls, but Bulls related. Jeff Van Gundy's on the call tonight.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what's the over-under before the first veiled reference or direct hit on Bulls management? What do you think?
I don't think he does any. None. Zippo.
He's going to show restraint or because it's not appropriate?
I think that he looks at Thibs. I think privately, I believe Thibs said to him, would you stop? You're just making it more difficult right now. I don't need it.
I don't know. Thibs doesn't operate that way, Cap. I mean, if Thibs operated that way, there's no way he would have
a
grin on his face, practically suppressing a smile when he was talking to Adrian Wojnarowski outside the Bulls' coaching office the other night in Cleveland.
Okay,
I don't think he wants to tone it down at all.
Okay, if the roles were you're the coach and I'm the broadcaster.
Yeah.
And we have a great relationship. We've been together a long
that's
time.
That's me.
And
that's
and
you.
Would you say to me, "Hey dude, knock it off."
I'd say I would. But I don't know
I appreciate the support.
I most certainly would. But I don't know that we can we're not Tom Thibodeau. I think Tom Thibodeau probably, he says it's all noise. He ignores the noise. I don't think he dislikes the noise.
I believe. I
think that he doesn't mind having an advocate out there.
How fast do you think he gets hired by another franchise?
5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
Okay. I think that you're probably right.
Okay.
If I owned a team, I'd hire him. That said, I don't think he truly wants to leave here.
I think both are true.
And I believe he says to Van Gundy, and has, okay, enough. I appreciate everything. It's just making it even more untenable for me.
Maybe.
So just stop.
I would hope that comes out and he did that because that would be the right thing to do, right?
Uh-huh.
So this is what I want to ask you. We talk in the context of Joakim Noah, who struggled mightily
mm-hmm.
this series. Do you think that at any point Jeff Van Gundy will try to – he's got to address Joakim Noah's limited production and mislay all this stuff. The free throws, 1 for 14. Is there a camp, a school of thought that because Joakim Noah couldn't play more because of minutes restrictions, that he's not where he needs to be offensively?
Wow.
I'm asking
that. I haven't even thought about it.
Is that a school of thought?
No, because he's not healthy.
Okay.
He's got no explosion. None.
I agree with you. I agree there's no connection. I'm just saying that the camp that blames management for everything.
Okay, so you're painting a scenario where Jeff Van Gundy, you know, ball rolls out of bounds, got a moment, he's like, you know, Jeff, they haven't gotten much offensively out of Noah. Well, when you limit someone's play and you don't let them play as many minutes as they're used to, they get rusty.
Yes. That's what I'm alluding to. Because
that would be awesome.
Because, Cap, I hear it in Tom Thibodeau's veiled references to not having everybody for practice. How hard it's been all season. The other night when somebody's asked him a question after the Bulls won a game, it was like, well, isn't it nice to be when you're healthy? This is after they won game one. Is it nice to have everybody healthy? Well, we're not healthy. And it's been tough all year without having everybody, you know. I think it's a built-in thought process that this has been something they've had to overcome. And so the players aren't where they need to be because of practice time that have been limited and because of play time that's been limited. It wouldn't shock me at all if Joakim Noah's struggles are blamed by Jeff Van Gundy on his limited court time. I'm just saying, when he says it, chuckle. And remember, we had this conversation.
I'm going to be watching. If he says that tonight, that will be awesome.
I don't know that he will. I just was asking when to get your input from that.
I read every Chicago story, and there is no doubt that the Bulls organization has the media, with a few exceptions, in their hip pocket.
That guy.
That's awesome. If that happens tonight, I'm going to text you right away.
I'll be at the game. Looking forward to it.
In his hip pocket?
Yeah. I'll be sitting, you know, they have this press seating, and then there's the other seating, and I'll be in Pax's hip pocket.
Correct.
Yeah.
Your credential is going to say, instead of, you know, seat 1A in the
John
press box.
John Paxson hip pocket.
Correct.
Yeah. And then KC is going to be in guard's hip pocket, right? Is that the way it works? Because the Tribune and, you know, the Chicago media. Who else is going to be? Nick Friedel, where's he sitting? Is he in the lapel pocket?
Lapel pocket.
Okay.
312-235-2525.
We all have agendas, right?
Phone number. All of us.
All of us.
That's it. 312-235-2525. We will get to more of your calls. So KC says he thinks Mirotić doesn't play more than 10 minutes.
I know he said that. KC surprised me in a couple things this morning. That was good. I thought I heard Tom Thibodeau sort of leave the door open for more time for Nico.
So when
I think you need to play him more, don't you think so?
I do. So when I spoke to this basketball coach last night, I said to him, how do you not play Aaron Brooks more minutes? How do you not play Mirotić more minutes?
Two different scenarios, but what was the answer?
He wouldn't play him either.
Really? Why?
And I said, why not? He goes, I'd give Mirotić 10, 12 minutes tops. He goes, Aaron Brooks? I ain't going down with Aaron Brooks playing. Sorry. Enough to get Derek a blow, and that's it. He goes, look, he goes, the Jeff Van Gundy school, and this guy knows Jeff very well. He said the Jeff Van Gundy school, he goes, that they all went to. You shrink the rotation in the playoffs, and you ride your guys as hard as you can to win a title.
Can I ask you something?
I'm going to play Nikola Mirotić, who can't guard his lunch, when I'm playing against the Cavaliers.
Yeah, because
no
he can
shot.
Shoot. And by the way, he can shoot. And
I'm not saying I agree with it.
I don't either, because what did Jeff Van Gundy ever win to have a school named after him? The Jeff Van Gundy School of Thought? I don't want to enroll there.
That's where these guys...
I'm not enrolling in that school.
These guys worship it.
Please. Play Mirotić 18 minutes tonight. Let's see what you got. And I don't know what school that is. What school is that? The Common Sense School of Basketball.
I'm just telling you what they're saying. Not me. Don't shoot the messenger. 312-235-2525. We'll grab a timeout. We'll get back to more of this. And John Moon Mullen floats in about 10:40. Be right back.
Papenhaw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
This isn't new to Chicago Bulls basketball. All the way back to Phil Jackson, the team has publicly supported their coach while privately, oftentimes, undermining that same person. You saw it with Vinny Del Negro, Scott Stiles. I mean, think about it. They ran Phil Jackson out after winning all those championships. And I think it's wrong. And I think it's wrong for the town. I think it's wrong for the team. And it certainly has not been fair to Tom Thibodeau.
Shut up.
Who can set the court on fire? Only the Bulls. Keep us burning with desire.
Only the Bulls.
Who can bring another time?
Love that song. Welcome back, Captain Haw, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. Don't forget Page 2 coming up at about 11:40 today. Yeah. Maybe even a little earlier. We got a lot of good stuff. Mike put some phenomenal stuff together.
So it's
going to
be Page 2
today.
And 3.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
So the Jeff Van Gundy comments, those were from January, February?
Yeah.
Those keep
and that
coming back.
Really, really
wow.
had Pax and Gar seething.
Well, wouldn't you? What does Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson have to do with anything now?
Nothing.
Nothing. That whole rift had nothing to do with 2015. 1998, 17 years ago. Jeff Van Gundy probably remembers it because he was on the other end of those
beatings.
Know. Yeah.
Was he hanging on to Alonzo Mourning's leg at that time?
Remember
that?
I don't know.
So here's a great Jeff Van Gundy story from someone who was on the plane. Van Gundy's coaching the Knicks. He's driving like a 1994 Honda Civic and making good money, but just had a crappy car. So the plane is landing after a road game. It's cold. It's snowy. So they pull in. They land at a private airstrip. They don't land at, like, LaGuardia. They pull all the players' cars up on the tarmac, and they start them up and warm them up. Van Gundy's is off to the side a little bit, and the pilot, you know how you reverse the thrusters when you land vroom, to slow the plane down? There's like
I've never landed a plane, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, you hear it when you land.
Right.
They reverse the
thrusters.
Honey,
I have to park the plane.
And a gust of wind from the plane, like the jet, gets underneath his car, and as they're landing, his car comes off the ground, spinning, lands on its roof, and is totaled.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a bad day.
Yeah. How about that? That's great story. 312-235-2525. Let's go to the phones. And how about Markel on the west side of the city? Markel, what's going on there, you rock star?
Hey, Markel.
What's going on, man? Sitting here listening to y'all's show.
Yep.
Eating a big bowl of Apple Jacks.
What, skim milk or whole milk?
Whole milk, my man. Whole milk.
A is for Apple, J is for Jacks.
There
cinnamon toasty Apple Jacks.
Love them.
Need a good breakfast. That's a fact.
I enjoy watching y'all's show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Y'all one of the best shows. Y'all be out for only a few months. But I agree with David Hall, though. Everybody looking at Jeff Van Gundy as like he's this great coach. But what has he done as far as coaching lately?
Nothing.
He's been to the finals. Okay, my point is exactly. So he need to shut up then. Let John Paxson and Gar Forman. Do what they do. I mean, if they win the championship this year, I wonder if he still has so much negativity to say. And then I got a question.
Okay.
I think it'll be real dumb if they fired Tom Thibodeau as coach. But if they don't win the championship, do you think Scott Brooks would be a better replacement than Fred Hoiberg? Because that'd be like Tim Floyd all over again.
It's a good question, Markel. Thanks for the phone call.
Big difference, though, is that Tim Floyd had no NBA experience. None. Fred Hoiberg knows management, has played in the NBA.
He knows the league a little bit
better. The league. He's got a little coaching. I mean, Steve Kerr had no experience. Look how well he's doing at Golden State. So I can't say that Scott Brooks.
Steve Kerr was a GM, though, before.
He was.
So he knew also how the inner workings with between management and coaches, what worked, what didn't work. Thanks for the call, Markel. That's a good point. We talked, Cap, yesterday when you left to do the Cubs pregame about Scott Brooks and whether or not he would be a viable candidate anywhere. Mark Carmen wasn't that convinced Scott Brooks was that great of a coach. I think that they've got rid of Scott Brooks in Oklahoma City because they felt like he had plateaued. I don't know that you hire somebody that like that. Doesn't seem like he would be.
You know, I always felt like you, but then I watched Joe Torre, who finished dead last with three straight teams, go to New York, and he's a Hall of Famer with the Yankees. You give a guy a good team, he's a good coach, he'll win.
He's got a good team in Oklahoma City. He had three guys who were basically MVP candidates at one point. Harden, Remember when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah, he wasn't quite that level
Westbrook then. Well, why? I mean, that's the thing.
He's a young player.
Wasn't that long ago. But you got Durant, you got Westbrook, you
he
got Harden.
No Durant almost all this year. Westbrook's a bit of a ball hog at times.
I can see Cappy working up the Scott Brooks angle. I can see Plan B formulating in your head.
I mean, I'm not saying I'd hire him, but I would certainly talk to him.
I think you'll be doing some homework on Scott Brooks this weekend.
Yeah, I'm done watching Bud Dupree videos. 312-235.
But you know what's on right now on HBO, and it's on repeat.
Draft day.
Draft day.
Is it on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. I got it on my iPad,
Thanks for giving viewers another option, Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Way to go, buddy.
Let's get back to the phones.
You know, as Mike said, Fred Hoiberg does have political experience, too.
He's the mayor.
The mayor, exactly. Let's see. Michael's in Arkansas. Michael, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Michael.
Good morning, everyone. We're not talking about Jarrett Sloan. I really don't want to talk about no other coaches. But I got four things I got to say. Well, three things I got to say, and they're going to be quick.
Okay.
We need a lot more nasty. I was talking about Mike being nasty. We need a lot more. We got LeBron James going to the hole. Ain't being touched. We need somebody to bump him, hit him. I mean, let him know that we there.
Nazi.
D. Rose. I'm just trying to get these points out real quick.
Okay.
D. Rose, not getting fouled. He's not getting fouled going to the line. I mean, I think he don't sell it enough. I mean, some calls are obvious, but they need to get him the call. I mean,
he will shoot a minimum of 8 free throws tonight.
And after that game, I had one person that come to my mind. Stormy Norman, Norm Van Leer. 48 minutes of intensity.
That's exactly right. Attitude.
Exactly.
Michael, thanks, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank y'all.
Good points.
Miss you, Norm. Radio partner.
Those are some good points, I know. Norm was great. He would love the game the other day to hear Derrick Rose say they were nonchalant. I could hear him saying, what?
Attitude.
You know, Michael in Arkansas brings up, he mentioned a name that you just sort of glossed over. What's Jerry Sloan doing?
He's like 75 years old.
How old is he? How old is Jerry Sloan?
Hold on.
I just want to know. 97?
No, he's not. You guys are totally overstating his age.
I think he's 72. That'll be my guess.
Okay. I was thinking 60s. Would it be probably 70s? I'm thinking 60s.
Come on, computer.
I don't know. It's kind of early to be doing the short list, even though on fansided.com you can find Mark Carmen's short list to replace Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, he had like 5 guys.
15.
15?
I think he had 15 names. Love the Carm. He did some research.
Jerry Sloan, would you honestly want a guy who hadn't coached in how many years? Jerry Sloan was born 1942.
73.
73, he'll be, he just turned 73.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
Come on.
No, I wouldn't.
Want Larry Brown?
No, I think that we're going to hear all about, no. Why do you want Scott Brooks?
Did you meet him at the East Bank Club one day or something?
No, I coached against Scott Brooks.
Really?
You coached against him?
Yeah.
Where?
In the World Basketball League. We had Jimmy Les, Scott
Brooks.
He
was in the World Basketball League?
Fresno Flames,
buddy. For a while.
Fresno Flames.
Wow, he's come a long way since the Fresno
Flames. We kicked his little keister multiple times.
Who was your go-to guy on the?
Let's see, our starting lineup was Jimmy Les, Kevin Gamble, Al Frederick Hughes.
Oh, Al Frederick Hughes, he was
Frank
tough.
Ford from Auburn, and Eddie Hughes, who is going to be in page 2 a little bit later.
Okay.
And Daryl Johnson from Michigan State.
Oh, yeah, I remember Daryl Johnson. Yeah. Played for Judd.
That's right.
Al Frederick Hughes, one of the more memorable names in Chicago college basketball.
And I believe Scott Brooks slapped Jimmy Les.
Just
they
because.
Got into it. And so when we played, Jimmy always was a ball distributor. He said to the team, he got him together, I'll never forget, screw the game plan. I've gotten you guys yours all season long. Tonight's my night. I'm taking that guy down. And Jimmy got 40 on Scott Brooks. Wow. Never forget it. It's great at the Allstate Arena. Then the Horizon. 312-235-2525, Bob in Glendale. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Listen, I want to tell you guys one thing. You guys do a terrific job, and I really appreciate your show. Here's a comment that I want to make. I think we should play Mirotić at center and put Joakim Noah on the bench because Mirotić could score points for us where Joakim Noah can't even make a free throw. What do you think about that?
I think it'd be going small, Bob. I don't think they want to
Mirotić
do that.
Mirotić is not a center. He's not a physical player.
Wait, isn't he 6'10" or 6'11"?
But he's not a physical player. He can't play that.
Joakim is with his physical condition right now. He can't even move. He can't even jump. At least his scoring, we could use his points.
If you're playing him, you're playing him at.
Wait, listen to me. In the fourth quarter this year, who was the leading guy in the fourth quarter? Mirotić was in the whole NBA. So why doesn't Thibodeau play the man?
Because he doesn't guard anybody.
Well, that's a different discussion, Bob.
He's given us 0 points and not doing nothing. He's better than Joakim right now. You know he's hurting.
Bob, I think it's a good phone call. Thanks for making
Thank
it.
You.
If you're playing Mirotić, you're playing him at the three.
Well, I think the frustration is obvious and understandable. I don't think you start him. I don't think that makes it any better. You certainly don't start him at center. But if his point is, and this is probably the way he should have gone with this, you need to see more of Nico in the fourth quarter because he has proven success in the fourth quarter. That's a different argument. I think that maybe you could justify using him more than you have. And those are where those minutes could come. At whose expense? I don't know. It's a game-by-game situational type of deal. But I do think he's got to play more, and he's proven that he can be counted on in the clutch. Defensively, he's a liability. It is the playoffs. It is different. But I don't know. See what you got. Why not? I hear you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call, buddy. Yeah, I'd love to go back to 1988, a young Scott Brooks.
You're still stuck on the beating the Fresno Flames.
We kicked their keister.
That's amazing. You got the game plan probably framed on you in your
somewhere
in your office.
Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into App today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them up 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's Apt, ABT, best customer service in the world from the great Steve Shapiro. Apt's been pleasing people since 1936. We'll switch gears to John Moon Mullen. We'll light one up with him coming up next.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
John Moon Mullen joins us now from his home in Denver, Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High.
That John Denver's full of man.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me
John Moon Mullen, CSN Chicago.com's great Bears insider. Joins us now. The Vegas odds out this morning. Looked them up. I knew Moon was going to be on. The Bears.
Oh, yeah.
50-1 to win the Super Bowl.
On that, and Moon's got them a lot better chances than that.
I think Moon has them looking for a repeat a year from now. He joins us now here. Hi, John.
Oh, I'll have what you're smoking now, pal. Jeez.
How's it going, Moon?
David, how you doing?
Good. So, rookie mini camp this weekend. Obviously, you just get a chance to see what these guys who we've been breaking down for months look like in person. I don't know that you can read too much into a rookie mini camp, but I think when you look at the Bears draft class, a lot of nice things have been said in the past week. How many starters do you think that they have drafted potentially?
The first three picks for sure.
For sure?
I think so. I think Grasso, this was an Olin Kruse in waiting type of draft pick, and Will Montgomery, serviceable, and he played for Gase and Fox in Denver. But that, to me, is a pick you make with the intention of him being a starter. I don't know if he does it as a rookie, but obviously the nose tackle and the wide receiver are layups. If they're not, then Ryan Bay should be fired. I really don't know as far as the running back. I really like the pick, and I think he's going to get a lot of chances to play. I went back and looked at some of the running back, the backup running back numbers under Fox have been jaw-dropping. I mean, every year somebody's getting over 100 carries. And the last 2 years, the total of the backups was 99 carries for the 2 years combined. So I think this will be a return, I think, to maybe what Lovie Smith had. Or you're going to see a guy like Langford get a lot of play, and then we'll see where that goes after this year with Matt Forte.
John, when you look at the whole draft, and it's amazing how procedural the draft signings have become. You've got, I think, the Texans and the Bears have their entire draft classes already signed.
Dolphins, too.
Dolphins. So yeah. You don't have any more of the holdouts or, you know, the Cedric Benson tears because he's not going to get paid. Everything's pretty much slotted. How would you grade the draft? And I know it's tough when guys haven't gotten on the grass yet.
Yeah, it really is hard, and for a couple of reasons. You know, as I'm thinking about going out to see these guys, two of your top three picks are linemen. Let's face it, we don't know about them until July 29th. Then we can talk, because that's when pads come on, and you know, Golden and Grassu will be going against each other literally, just like they did in college. And if you're walking out now, and if you know you're watching Kevin White, I don't think anybody's going to be able to stay. There's probably no one on this. In the rookie committee camp that can stay anywhere near him. Otherwise, that kid would have been drafted somewhere. So it's going to be – everybody's going to look good. It's flag football, and we really won't know what these guys look like. And Langford, the fourth pick, until he has to start doing blitz pickup and so forth, that's really a position you're not going to be able to really evaluate. So overall, I like the draft a lot, and I don't usually get too enthusiastic about drafts until I see them. These guys I did see a lot of in college, and I think these first three picks I like, and actually the first four picks I like a lot.
So if you're a Bears veteran and they're watching the draft and they're seeing everything unfold, who are a couple of the names that you think stand out to you as guys who were put on notice by virtue of who the Bears drafted last weekend?
Yeah, it's hard not to have someone like Will Sutton. And again, we're not talking about true vested veteran on the defensive line. I would... Jeremiah Ratliff, I'm curious to see where he's played. I don't know that he's put on notice per se, but I think what you're seeing, he's probably going to be slotted at end, for example, rather than nose tackle, which, you know, Ryan Pace at the combine said, well, I got two guys on the roster who can handle nose, and then they go out and get a 335 pounder, which tells me those other guys are going to be used somewhere else. So I don't know who's in roster jeopardy because of that, and probably Bears fans.
Marquise Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I thought he was on notice when they signed Eddie Royal and Jordan Mills. Let's not make too little out of what a late round offensive lineman can do. Again, we can make jokes about Jamarcus Webb, but he was a seven, and he comes in and wins the job, and then Jordan Mills takes it from him as a fifth round pick. So the Fabelusia, who comes in at 330 pounds, and he's going to get a chance to beat out Jordan Mills. If there's a guy on notice, I'd say it's the right tackle.
We're talking to John Moon Mullen, CSHChicago.com. Moon, I liked Brett Hundley. I liked Brett Hundley from UCLA. I was disappointed the Bears didn't draft him when he was there, and then saw the Packers trade up to get him. Now, I'm not saying he's the second coming of Joe Montana, what was your take on the Packers trading up to get a quarterback? Does that surprise you?
Yeah, a little bit. And yet, I had exactly your reaction. I liked him a lot. I don't know that he's the same kind of quarterback at the NFL level. I mean, those kids all have a translation to go through. The Packers don't miss on quarterbacks too much, or the guys they go after as backups can tend to be pretty decent. I think one of the little subtleties about this, and again, Ryan Pace talked about, you know, staying with the board religiously. Didn't you guys take a little sense here that they might be happier with what they have already a backup quarterback with Jimmy Clausen? We don't really need a guy yet. I think they stayed with the board, and I don't want to make too much out of Jimmy Clausen, but that clearly was not a priority going into this draft.
Well, I think it probably also said, Moon, a lot about the draft class itself. They probably looked at guys like Hundley, who, you know, could be a fine prospect and certainly is in the right system to develop on their watch and with their tutelage. But I don't think that they looked at this draft class, and other than maybe the top two guys and maybe only one guy, maybe this was a Mariota or bust type of class to them in terms of quarterbacks, and maybe that's why they stayed away from a guy in the later rounds.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, David. I mean, that's obviously if they thought somebody had – had something, they would have grabbed him. But I do. Yeah, I think it's a combination. But not to have gotten somebody in one of those later rounds, I thought might be a little bit, let's say, maybe it's a reflection that they don't think it's quite as desperate a situation at number six.
John Mullen's with us. You can follow him at CSN Moon Mullen, and you can read him at CSNChicago.com. Who in the division did you feel did the best job improving this offseason between free agency, trades, and the draft?
Oh, boy. Well, it wouldn't be the Lions.
No, I thought it was the Vikings.
Yeah, Spielman, for the last couple of years, I mean, they're laying in number ones, and they all they're not superstars, but they can play. And the Adrian Peterson thing overshadows so much, but they haven't taken any steps backwards, and. You know, the Packers are hard to – they don't do much. All they do is keep their own guys who can play. So, yeah, I think I'd probably go with Minnesota just because their talent, they seem to keep pulling in more talent, and that means they're going to be gaining on people. So, yeah, the Packers just stay good. The other – I think the Vikings probably did the best job maybe of upgrading. I would put the Bears right in that picture too. Until we see what some of these guys look like in the new scheme, frankly, the coaching staff change – was as big as any in this division.
Moon, I think we tend to overstate it a little bit, but we went into the draft saying we're going to learn a lot about what kind of general manager Ryan Pace will be. Well, six draft picks later, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a good question, David. I don't know. Until we see him, you know, it's. I'm trying to think back. Well, again, looking back, other GMs. I don't think anybody came away from Phil Emery's first draft saying, oh, boy, this guy's got it.
Oh, no, I think quite the contrary. Yeah. I think that you came away from his first draft saying, but this is a guy that likes the unorthodox, who wants everybody in the room to feel like he's smarter than they are, and he likes the surprise. The Shea McClellan pick represented so much about what Phil Emery was as a general manager to me. And I think, in contrast, Ryan Pace took the gimme, and I think that maybe says that this is a guy that maybe at 38 is wise beyond his years, perhaps, and the conservative route might be the path that they take back to respectability.
Yeah, you know what, David, I really agree. I think you had that take on Emery back right after that draft. I really agree with that. And that we saw it in his coaching hire, and, you know, again, a little too smart for their own good kind of guys. I don't get any of that from Ryan Pace, and I find that very impressive in a 37-year-old. Remember he made the trip out to Denver for the second interview with John Fox? I didn't look at that as Mike Martz having to make a trip to Nashville to woo Jay Cutler. I thought it was a gesture of respect, of relationship building, and I've seen the different dominoes, and going back to the owner's meeting and so forth. He is not, Ryan Pace is not full of himself. And to me, that's the first step toward being intelligent, is not thinking you're overly smart. So he's not self-effacing, but in what he did, I don't think he was just being safe. I think he took what, to me, were the right calls. You know, the picks he made, they are going to get you back toward respectability. He didn't try to outthink the draft, didn't reach for somebody, which would be, that would be a statement like the McClellan, where you think, oh boy, he thinks he sees something nobody else does. He didn't do any of that, which I think that's a good tell on this young guy.
Moon, Tom Brady spoke yesterday at Salem State. This morning, Keith Olbermann is saying he should be suspended for an entire season for what he did. He said 24 hours for tampering with the football and 364 days for his stupidity.
That's a good way to put it.
Do you think he gets suspended? B, do you think he should get suspended?
Yeah, actually, I do. I kind of roll my eyes, and I think a lot of people do at this. How big a deal is this, really, the inflation of the footballs? Let's pull the camera back, though. Bigger picture, you are tampering with the integrity of something. Anytime baseball, it's somehow, if you're loading up the ball with Vaseline or something, we can kind of laugh about it and wink about it, but no, guys, there are certain things that shouldn't be tampered with, and if you do this, what else are you willing to do? So I think you need to, I won't say send a message, But yeah, I guess maybe send a message that we're not going to take cheating in any form. I think there should be a suspension. I really don't think it's worth a year. Jeez, wouldn't that, I mean, you're suspending a guy for taking a pound of pressure out of a football the same as suspending a coach for Bounty Gate. I think that's a little extreme.
That might be overstated.
I do think, but it is worth something. It's not that it decided the outcome of a game, but it might have if it reduced the number of fumbles or whatever. But you can't tamper with the integrity of the game. And it's where do you draw that line? If you don't draw a line, then you don't have any line.
Good stuff, Moon. Have a great weekend up there.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Have a good one, buddy. There he is, John Moon Mullen. 312-235-2525. Bears on the grass today for John Fox.
Yeah, Tom Brady's got to get something.
I would probably.
1 year's harsh.
No, I'd suspend him for 4 games. I'd go four. I think he probably gets two.
Yeah, I think 2 games to me makes sense and makes a statement.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah. I would not be fine with them doing nothing. I think that they are positioning themselves.
Right. If they announce it's $500,000 fine to the organization, that's weak.
I would suspend Tom Brady, but I would also fine and probably sanction the New England Patriots, take away a draft pick, because this is a systemic thing.
Yep.
This is organizational.
You call them up and go, hey, your quarterback's out for 2 to 4 games, and we took your number one pick next year.
Makes a statement.
Get some attention. 312-235-2525. We'll be right back.